All right, we'll call to order the Stevensville Town Council meeting for Tuesday, September 24th, 2019. Ms. Hoffman, would you please call roll?
Mayor Davey?
Here.
Councilmember Holco?
Here.
Councilmember Gibson?
Here.
Councilmember Vick?
Here.
Councilmember Short?
Here.
All right, thank you. If you'd please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you. We've got approval of the minutes, September 5th. August 5th through September 5th. Approval of minutes. Ms. Holcomb?
I move that we approve the minutes. Do you want me to do them one or all of them?
No, we don't. Okay.
So you want me to do one at a time? Okay. So I move that we approve the minutes for August 5th, 2019.
Is there a second?
Well, again, I mean, it's not that big a deal on this agenda, but I wasn't on the council. I actually was being interviewed to be on the council, so I don't know if I could approve the minutes, but it's not as big a deal as the other ones because they were lengthy and they were discussions, but again, I wasn't even on the council.
I think given the circumstances and the content of the minutes, I don't know the downside to approving the minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, legal counsel can maybe elaborate, but...
The rule of this is just to verify accuracy. So you said, what you remember is happening.
But again, I was on this one. I was only in here, and they made me leave the room. So I don't know any of the other than the people that interviewed. I'm not making a big deal. The other one was a big deal, I thought, because it was all those minutes for the council. I'm not trying to make a big deal out of it. I'm just saying I wasn't on the council.
And remember, the minutes are derived from the recording, and we keep the recording as the official record of council minutes.
Okay. Still need a second, though.
Is there a second to approve August 5th's minutes? Anybody? Anybody? Anybody?
I'll second it.
All right. It's been moved and moved by Ms. Holcomb and seconded by Mr. Vick to approve the August 5th, 2019 minutes. Council discussion. Public comment. All right. Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Gibson?
Abstain.
Councilmember Vick?
Abstain.
Councilmember Sure.
Abstain.
Scott, does it still pass with three abstentions and one aye?
No,
I don't think so. So what I would offer is if you think we televise everything, if you wanted to go back and get an accounting of what happened during that meeting, I suppose you could review the video and determine whether or not that is in compliance with what's been written in the minutes. And then you could vote if that felt maybe felt.
I think that's a good idea. I think we do that with both August 5th and August 6th.
Okay.
With that input, we'll table the August 5th and 6th minutes to the next agenda to give council an opportunity to review either the video or the audio recordings and make sure that those are made available to you. We'll move on to the August 28th, 2019 minutes. Ms. Holcomb.
I move that we approve August 28th, 2019 minutes.
For a second.
I have a couple of corrections, but you can wait till the second.
Okay, it's been moved by Ms. Holcomb and seconded by Mr. Vick to approve the August 28th, 2019 minutes. Is that correct?
He seconded?
I knew I heard it from this side. It was Mr. Sheward who seconded the motion for clarification on the record. Clarifications?
Page 2, where it said, Councilmember Gibson asked if the water rates were going to go up 5%. That should be 3%. They were proposed to go up 3%, not 5%.
Okay.
So will that correction be made?
Can you show me
on page, page 2.
I know, in the 28 minutes?
Yes.
Okay, top, middle, bottom?
Second page, right after it says taxes may go up 52%. It should be 3% instead of 5%.
Thank you.
And then the other correction would be at the end, The September 5th meeting was a special meeting called, and originally it was called to the bids on the airport. And I asked the question that, is that...
Are you on the first page, sir?
I'm not on any page. I'm doing an addition here that wasn't included in the minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I didn't make that clear.
Okay.
It was stated at that August 28th meeting that September 5th would be bids for the airport, which didn't happen. But then I asked the question, it was only about that, and the mayor answered yes. I asked if it was about the budget. He said no. And for whatever reason, that was changed, included the budget and the lighting district's approval. So I just want that reflected in the minutes.
Gotcha.
Okay, any further corrections or additions to minutes?
Yes, in the public comment section on page 3.
Of what date?
It's the 28th of August.
Okay.
It has Joe Perrin down instead of Bill Perrin, which is his correct name.
Make a note why it's important to fill in the public comment. Sounds like Joe or Bill from the recording.
Okay, any further corrections from council? Any public comment on the August 28th minutes? Ms. Motley.
Under the Bill Perrin, Perrin is spelled wrong. It's P-E-R-R-I-N.
Why do we need to sign the thing? It's, what was that? P-E-R-R-I-N. Thank you.
Okay, any further public comments? All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Short?
Aye.
Councilmember Vick?
Aye.
Councilmember Gibson?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
All right, next up is the September 5th, 2019 minutes. Ms. Holcomb?
I move that we approve the minutes from September 5th, 2019.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Ms. Holcomb, seconded by Mr. Short, to approve the September 5th, 2019 council minutes.
I just have one addition.
Okay.
On the September 5th agenda, originally it was listed to approve the bill levies, and then it was stated that, I think by the mayor, that we needed public comment. It was to be on the September 12th agenda, and it wasn't placed on the September 12th agenda.
So you're asking me to amend the agenda?
No, I'm just asking to put the addition what was said. It was stated that the mill levy approval will be on the September 12th agenda, and it was not.
Oh. Any further clarification or correction in the minutes? Public comment. All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Gibson?
Aye.
Councilmember Vick?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Short? All right, and so three. Next up is approval of biweekly claims, claims number 15446 through 15504. Ms. Holcomb.
I move that we approve the biweekly claims 15446 through 15504.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Ms. Holcomb and seconded by Mr. Sheward to approve the biweekly claims number 15446 through 15504. Council discussion. Ms. Holcomb.
I'm going to have a few, so bear with me.
Sure.
Page 2 of 8. 15473, 15474, 15475. Were these doubled again?
They're not.
Because they're all the same amount for the same date.
If you look at the descriptions, one covers 7119 to 73019, 8119 to 83019, and 9119 to 93019.
Well, no, I mean, because there's two of them. There's two for 67 and four.
Right. They're split between water and sewer.
Okay.
If you look at the coding on the right hand side, 5210 would be the water fund, and 5310 would be the sewer fund.
Okay, the next one is on page. 3 of 8. 15487. I don't know what FinOff is for $75, $37.50, and $37.50.
Finance officer?
Oh, finance officer. That makes sense.
So the registrations for those and duty clerk should actually say deputy clerk. It's abbreviation because of the type of space we have in giving descriptions. But those registrations are allocated based on the time they spend in those departments.
And so the deputy clerk, the three times, is just one person?
Right. One person is split between water, sewer, and general.
So some people aren't. So the registration varies with how many days you're there. Some people aren't attending the whole.
Well, if you
like
add
yours
up.
Because is 150, the clerk, then somebody's 75.
No. If you add up all the finance, the ones that say.
They all come to 150.
If they all, every individual comes to 150, they split the finance officers' registration between general fund, water, and sewer. Same thing with the deputy clerk. Council came out of council, mayor came out of mayor, and clerk came out of general fund.
Okay.
So will someone be in the office during this time?
Yes. Denise's last day is until the 4th of October, so she's holding the fort down for us.
Okay.
Last hurrah.
Okay. Okay, page 4 of 8.
Okay.
15488, Montana Department of Environmental for $1,722. What is that? So it's very top.
That is, if you recall, on our water bill, we collect a $2 fee from every water user once a year. We collect a $2 fee for DEQ.
Oh, okay.
It results in a flood of phone calls to the office. Why did my bill go up $2? That's where we pay it back out to the Department of Environmental Quality.
Okay.
It's pass through.
And then 15492, this MMIA for this $1,500 deductible?
Correct. That's our deductible for employment practices coverage. MMIA has agreed to so far defend or provide defense for the Trib and Seek claim.
Okay. 5 of 8 down at the bottom, 15499 for this electric company for $1,955.44.
That's for the airport. Those are PAPI materials for the approach.
I think I only have one more. And it's on the next page. 15502, Environmental Systems Research for $2,450.
That is part of our market analysis grant that was provided by the Department of Commerce through the state of Montana. So that is a license for our GIS software.
Is that a one time?
That'll be a recurring expense. This year it's covered by a grant.
So is this in the budget? If it's not in the
yes.
grant anymore?
This year it'll be covered by a grant. It is in the budget. The it's offset by revenue.
So 2021
it'll be correct. Yep, it'll be a new expense that we aren't used to incurring. Any further questions from council on the claims? Public comment. All right. Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Vick.
Aye.
Councilmember Short.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Gibson.
Aye.
Great. Thank you. I'm going to pass the approval sheet around for you before I forget. There are no administrative reports tonight. Those were covered at the last meeting. And we don't have any guests to recognize, nor correspondence. So we'll open it up to public comment. It's an opportunity to comment on anything under the town and Stevensville's jurisdiction, on or off of tonight's agenda. Please make sure you step to the podium, state your name and address for the record, and sign the sign-in sheet, as the clerk has helped us enforce. Any public comment? Help slip the minutes, folks. All right, if there's any public comment, Ms. Snapp.
Sorry, I should have made this comment earlier, I guess, during the budget meeting.
You can make it again, it's okay.
So, I understand that there's an amount to be allocated to Main Street as a match for grants for economic development. And I know that you know, all of us are concerned about growth, and we like Stevensville the way it is. But people are moving here. We are growing. It's a fact of life. So these grants that require a match are for a group, whether it's Main Street or a committee under Main Street, to look at how we can strategize and grow appropriately, grow in a way that we want it. If we just let it be random growth, I can tell you in 10 years we're going to be unhappy. We need a strategy. I don't think it's your job to strategize how we're going to grow and figure out all the innuendos of this versus that. I don't think it's Civic Club. Main Street is the obvious one to put in a grant, and they need the match. So in my mind, by approving that, the grant match, we are saying we're going to take control of the growth, we're going to do the analysis, and we're going to grow the way that we want to. So I would highly recommend that you approve that. Thank you.
Make sure you sign the sheet. We don't want to spell your name wrong.
Well, just a comment. Again, we had the presentation for Main Street, but it is the council's place. If you have planning and you have zoning and all those things that the council and the mayor have to approve and not approve, that is our responsibility. And right now, and I'll be done, because we did pass a motion not to give that $10,000 unanimously. There are two vacant buildings on Main Street, one of them which is sold, is going to open in October, and the other one is the Steve I. Cafe, which had a fire problem and doesn't meet code.
Okay.
So you already said you're not going to...
Yeah, we did that last meeting. Yeah.
Mention this piece, 3627 Highway 93. I think you need to walk the streets. We've got trillions of empty buildings that are not going to be open in October. Anyway, we're lucky that we got one new building, but we've got a lot of them closing.
Well, I'll be damned, I did walk the streets, and those are the two vacant buildings, and the ones have been sold.
Okay.
Main Street.
Okay.
Main
Street. Limited to public comment, please. Any further public comment? All right. If there's no further public comment, we'll move on to business portion of our agenda, unfinished business. Discussion decision, contract for legal services with Scott B. Owens, city attorney. In your packet is included a contract proposed by Mr. Owens tonight. He was appointed on July 11th, 2019. This is a follow-up from that appointment.
He's an old-timer compared to me.
goes way back. Goes way back. Yeah. Lots of history there. How would council like to proceed? Ms. Holcomb.
I move that we approve the contract for legal services with city attorney Scott Owens.
Okay, sir, second.
Second.
Who's claiming it?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
All right. Ms. Holcomb has moved and Mr. Gibson seconded to approve the contract for legal services with city attorney Scott Owens. Discussion. Ms. Holcomb.
I just want to say thank you for finally bringing this forward so we can get it taken care of. I
appreciate you bringing it to our attention. It slipped our minds. Any further questions from council?
Are you sure you want to do this?
Yes, I am.
Okay. He keeps coming. Okay, any further questions from council? For legal counsel? Any public comment on the contract? All right. If there's nothing further, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Short.
Aye.
Councilmember Gibson.
Aye.
Councilmember Vick.
Aye.
All right. It's approved.
Yeah, welcome aboard.
Sign it in ink. Off we go. Unfinished business item B is discussion decision performing a special audit from May 2019 through July 2019. This is more or less an informational item because the finance officer isn't able to join us tonight. He asked that I pass along some of the conversation or or research he's done on this topic. I know that council had approved a special audit to be performed, and that we had intended to bring a RFP forward to council tonight for publication. The finance officer did not build an RFP in hopes that maybe we'd get some different direction from the council on this process. He spoke to a number of auditing firms, doing some research and trying to figure out exactly what kind of language should be included in the RFP. What he found was, as most firms, in fact, I think all of them he spoke with, discouraged him from proceeding with a special audit with their firm, given that the value wasn't there for what we'd pay. They would charge us, they would do the audit, but it wouldn't be financially responsible to do so. Their suggestion was is that we contact and work with our current auditing firm and designate the area in question as a high risk area so that they can spend more time on that area. It may come at an additional cost, which Robert's still working with Strom and Associates to determine what that may be. But nonetheless, that was the recommendation from a number of individuals in the industry as to how best proceed economically and risk-wise in an audit.
As we discussed before, we're not really going to know unless we do the RFP who responds to it and what the cost is going to be. So I don't understand what the risk, because we don't have, we had this discussion before that it was too costly, that we can make a decision not to do it, but what's the harm of doing the RFP? I mean, you talk to somebody here, you talk to somebody there, yeah, maybe that they say this or that. But there's no harm in doing an RFP because we're not going to know what the cost is and we're not going to know who's going to ask to do it. And that was the whole discussion last time. Because you had the question about it was too much, and it was said that if it's too much, we don't have to do it. I don't know why we wouldn't put out an RFP.
I think the finance officer, what he's looking at is that, you know, if it's too much, then we don't have to do it. He's trying to find a solution to say, look, we can do it no matter what if we use the current auditing firm we're under currently. Ms. Holcomb.
I still think it would be strongly advised to do this. I mean, it's just doing checks and balances. That's all we're doing. And I sent an email what I would like to see in it, and we discussed this at our last meeting, what we would like to see in it. So I'm not sure why this hasn't been fulfilled.
Well, part of the reason it hasn't been fulfilled is because we've been in the midst of a budget and the finance officers had a planned absence. So he's working as hard as he can to catch up on the work he needs to get done in preparation for the budget and didn't necessarily have the time to do an elaborate RFP in order to get it ready for publication. Secondly, as I explained, he spoke with a number of firms who said they weren't necessarily inclined to respond to an RFP in the first place. We aren't objecting to the audit, to be clear. The administration is not objecting by any means to an audit for the period in question. What we're coming forward with is a solution that's sensitive to the budget of the town, and still accomplishes what the council set out as a goal, to audit the time frame when we did not have a finance officer and the mayor took care of the finance officer's position.
I guess what I would suggest is till Robert's back, we put this on the next agenda, and we, in addition, what council and Holcomb recommended, she did send out recommendations.
She did.
And have that on the agenda and have that discussion.
Okay.
Is that okay with you?
That works.
Mayor, if you don't mind, can I speak in front of, just to say, in Robert's defense, he was highly diligently working on the entire budget, and he did reach out to very many people, and just for the record, Robert was working on getting your figures and all your questions answered for this meeting, and he didn't have enough over his many, many hours.
Yeah, I'm not questioning that.
Okay.
That's why I think it would be better when he's here, and again, we need to put an addition on the agenda what Councilperson Holcomb recommended be in the audit.
Okay. So, so that would be October 10th would be the next time this item comes up for discussion or decision.
The 12th.
October 10th.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at September.
Okay. Yeah, no, the 12th would be right if you were in September.
No,
yeah,
you're not doing the audit.
So, I'll check with Robert upon his return on Monday and see if that's realistic to pull an RFP together. The RFP will likely not be in your packet for review, but we'll have it out to you as soon as you can, because Robert gets back on Monday and we turn around on Tuesday afternoon and head for Billings, returning Friday the 4th.
Maybe we should have a special meeting when you're gone.
If you would like to, I won't miss it. I it'll be just fine. I hope you finalize it tonight. That would be great.
So do you want me to make a motion that we table this?
Till the October 10th.
Sure. Make it formal. Ms. Holcomb?
I move that we table the performing a special audit from May 2019 through July 2019 to for our October 10th meeting.
Second.
Okay. It's been moved by Ms. Holcomb, seconded by Mr. Vick to table to table the discussion to the October 10th council meeting. Further discussion from council? Public comment? All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Sheward?
Aye.
Councilmember Vick?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Gibson?
Aye.
All right, motion passes. All right, the main event. New business item A, discussion decision, resolution 449, adopting the final budget for fiscal year 2020.
Before we get to the resolution, I would like to have a little more discussion on the new budget.
Okay.
It was on the September 5th agenda for approval of mill levies. Then I believe it was stated that the public needed more notice, and I understand that. And it was going to be on the August 12th agenda, and it wasn't. And there were emails back and forth between the treasurer. There was discussions with Regina, the clerk, that the mills had to be approved and had to be submitted by September 13th. But we never had that discussion, and they've already been submitted. And now it's in the resolution that we approve the mill levies, which did go down, but also they went down by 10 points or whatever. And mills are pretty complicated, and there's also an issue of value. And when that happens, some people's taxes can go up, some people's taxes can go down. I just think it's unfortunate. This should have been in connection with the budget. It's unfortunate we didn't have that discussion along with the public, because there are ways that we would have known as we were doing the budget, we could have made revenue neutral decisions, which could have decreased the taxes for a lot of people in the town of Stevensville. But the fact is now I'm going to be done, because it's already been done. It was submitted, which had to be submitted on September 13th. But it was interesting in the emails between the treasurer and you, Mayor, that at one point you stated, well, the council hasn't approved or made a resolution on the mill levies since 2012, but now in your resolution, after the fact, you're asking that to be approved.
So, to clarify that point, when we went back and looked at resolutions, we did not see any standalone resolution that approved mill values besides 2012. Previous to 2012, we didn't see it, and ahead of 2012, we didn't see it. So, in undertaking the process of reporting mills and assessments to the county, Robert undertook the same process that the two or three finance officers before him undertook, and that was issuing a letter from the finance officer to the county clerk and recorder stating, here are the mills the town of Stevensville will draw in this fiscal year. And that has always been accepted. This year, the question was raised, is there a resolution that accompanies this or goes along with this authorizing this mill, and that instigated then the research into when did we last do this, how is the process undertaken. Every other year, the council has essentially adopted the mills in the resolution as it reads tonight, where they approve the budget and then subsequently approve the mills that they levy.
But my point is that we're going to approve something that's already been done. And the fact is with mills and revenue, we should have coordinated that with the budget, and we could have made hopefully some good impact on the citizens of Stevensville by doing that. I know it's already been done. I guess my suggestion would be, and I'm not going to be here, that in the next budget cycle that you do, which is important for the public and whatever, to include that discussion on the mills with the budget. Because right now, until now, I mean, I found out that the public didn't, the mills went from 106.73, I believe, to 97.64. Mm-hmm. And nobody even knew that, unless you called somebody else or you saw some other thing. But again, mills are complicated, and there would have been, if we should have had that opportunity. Again, it's out of the box. It's been done. They were submitted on the 13th, and there was indications that the council, in the budget process, with an email I had from Robert and other people, that we were going to have that discussion on the 12th, and we never did. That's my point. And regarding the resolutions, I guess I'm just confused when a resolution needs to be made and when it doesn't. Because at our last meeting on the water and sewer issue, we made and passed it that there would not be an increase on November 1st to 3%. There would be a decrease, and you said it needed to be in the resolution. It needed to be a resolution. It's not on resolution 449.
No, it'd be a separate resolution. When we modify rates, we'll do a separate resolution with public hearing.
Okay. And then finally, till this thing that I just got tonight, which, you know, it's going to take some time to go through, you know, we requested this information for some time, also including vehicles, all those things, and we still haven't gotten there. In fact, I don't think we're in a position right now where we can approve a budget for the people in this town when we don't even really know what it is. We really don't know what it is. That, to me, that's irresponsible. I just don't see how we can do that. And again, we still are showing somewhat in big numbers, we're showing a deficit, and there needs to be discussion on that. And there was also, I received, you know, the chief had some other things he wanted to talk about. There's some other issues, but now that all I see is a number that says there's a deficit, I don't think we're in a position tonight to pass a budget. And one final thing, with all due respect, on the resolution, it's confusing when it says there's a part about many of the initiatives proposed by the staff and the mayor were endorsed by the budget committee, which was that ad hoc committee, which I'm sure they're great people and they took their own time and they went through that. And then it states that it's got applicable checked. It says the ad hoc budget committee endorsed the preliminary budget of 813, which we hadn't even discussed as a council. I don't think it is applicable. I mean, I appreciate citizens taking the time, you know, to work with you, but we weren't involved. I mean, that was my, right after I was appointed, and I came, I was invited to come to this meeting, and I sat in the audience, and I really couldn't take part in it. They had the budget before the council had the budget. And we are not in a position tonight to pass a budget unless we really know what it is. And we have deficits, or we have surpluses, I think we need to explore other things. And I'll just say one simple thing. And I talked to some of your staff about this. I have asked constantly. I got a list from George of all these vehicles, 290,000, 289,000, There's been discussion about a vehicle on Heidi Court. There's been a discussion about a van. There's been a discussion about the white police car that just sits there. You know, the other question would be whether it's $100 or $200, we need to have a plan to surplus and the liability these vehicles that are doing nothing. And are we paying insurance on all these vehicles? Vehicles that sit constantly? That's a waste of the taxpayers' dollar. And we need more information on that. I mean, are we actually paying car insurance for a vehicle that never moves? That is a waste of the taxpayers' money. So I don't think we're ready to approve this budget.
How much time do you need to be ready?
We need to get more information and have the finance officer here. And I'm ready to make a motion that we adjourn.
Well, we got one more thing.
We do?
Yep, one more thing.
Okay. So I won't make that motion. But anything, we should have had this in the packet. You handed this out when we got here. You know, I need time to look at this. I'm not saying that anybody's trying to do anything, whatever, but in all my life, as Vice Chair of Appropriations of the State of Montana Legislature, having a budget of $23 million for the state of Montana, we never approved any budget without knowing what it was. And that's where we stand today. And if we do it on October 10th, that's October. That's in time.
No, it's not. October 1st is the deadline to submit.
Well, my understanding, you've been fined before. We need to know how much the fine is, and we'll find a cut in the budget to pay the fine. It's irresponsible. I'm going to say it one more time. It's irresponsible to pass a budget that you don't know what the budget is. And we've had plenty of time to get this information. And we wouldn't have been on this deadline. The council was fully here. And you had October 12th, you had a HADOC committee. We should have had the council going through the budget. So we wouldn't have this time crunch. That's reality. So my understanding is you didn't have the budget until November one year. You didn't have it into whatever. You know, well, what is the fine and who fines you?
Department of Administration.
And
what's
I don't know the fine number.
I don't know the fine amount.
I'm sure we can find the budget.
How's the rest of the council feel? Ms. Holcomb.
I'm in an agreement. I don't know how many meetings you, the committee had with the mayor, but we were just given this, here you go. We had maybe a month to go through this. I would have preferred, I asked what the department heads actually wanted to see what was actually taken away, what was actually budgeted. I never got that. It's always been we worked hand in hand. The department heads, the mayor, and the council. This is the first year that we have not been part of putting this together. And it's very confusing, and I just don't feel like it's ready to be passed until I can actually go through it and we can sit down and really go through everything. Until then, I don't think it's ready to be passed.
The budget committee met twice on the budget, and this is either the fourth or fifth meeting council's held on the budget. Mr. Short?
I don't think the budget should be passed unless every member is ready to do that, but I'm not ready to adjourn. If we want to sit here and hammer out some questions that you guys have, let's do that.
I'm not. I need to study this, and I need the information that I've requested before that I haven't gotten.
Okay, so can we provide clarification exactly what information you want? So that can be provided, and then the next time we sit down, we can.
Well, yeah, I've asked it before.
I think.
And again, I think we need to know that it's not necessarily to cut the budget. I mean, let's be honest here. Y'all received calls, or most of you, from the chief. And there was one of his staff presented something tonight. And he's talking about retention of officers, which I agree is a difficult situation.
Absolutely.
But no, until we have more information to know what really the budget is, I don't think we're ready to do it tonight. And I don't think the October 1st is a magic deadline. And
Mr. Gibson, just to clarify, can I write down the questions, though? Because I think some of them have been answered, but I just need to clarify so that we make notes so that those questions are specifically addressed. Because I have a lot of sticky notes if you'd like to, I mean.
I can come in tomorrow because I've gone through this for a month and I didn't bring them all.
Oh, okay.
And I come in tomorrow.
Okay.
I you're right. You should have that.
I just want to write them down.
And I'll come in tomorrow and I'll hand them to you. Because I've asked it for the last 4 weeks at the bottom. So yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
Okay, aside from Mr. Gibson, are there questions the council has or discussions they'd like to have on the budget tonight, since we're here?
Well, there's... Oh, sorry.
Ms. Holcomb.
There is one thing I would like to see in the resolution, and that would be all the wages, not just stating we're going to pass the wages. I would like to see the wages included in this, because I know it's been like that for many, many times when we've done that. You have here two deputy clerks. I know the one deputy clerk. Who's the second deputy clerk?
So we budgeted for two during the training. So one of them would be Denise, the other one being Laura, because Denise worked here in her last day as effectively October 4th.
Okay.
We have to budget for that position.
So then it will go down to one deputy clerk.
Correct.
Where is the administrative assistant? She's not in here then.
Administrative assistant, second from the top.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right.
It's alphabetical.
Okay, you're right. I'm sorry I missed that one.
And I have a question about the two building inspectors.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people didn't know there were two building inspectors. So we have two building inspectors and they're both part-time, is that correct?
Correct.
And one makes $22.44 and one makes $17. And the reason for that is?
So one holds more certifications than the other.
So do you have to be certified in order to do the job?
Correct.
So then why do we have two when one's not certified?
They're both certified. One is certified in more disciplines than the other. So there are residential and commercial inspections. There are mechanical, plumbing, electrical. There are a number of certifications that come with that profession. One of those inspectors is entry level and he has obtained one certification and he continues to obtain others. The other entered the organization with all certifications upon the retirement of the building official.
So when do they work?
One works Saturdays from 8 to noon and the other works Tuesdays and Thursdays from 8 to noon.
So two people are working a total of 3 days and the budget's $43,000 in salaries?
Yes.
Well, how can that be? Because you have a full-time finance officer at $41,000 and somebody, you have two people that work 3 days a week, but they still total more?
There are other wages that come out of the building department to cover administrative costs.
Well, it shows right here, one is $19,500 and the other is only $3,621, so one must be working more than the other one.
Well, yeah, one's working 1 day a week and one's working 2 days a week.
Well, I guess there'll be some questions about that. Maybe we need to have the people in charge of that here at the next meeting. That makes no sense to me either.
A portion of the town clerk's wages are also allocated to the building fund to cover the issuance of building permits.
Well, this shows two building inspectors.
Right, and I'm telling you that there's a portion of the clerk's wages,
okay, well, we need to have
10%,
more discussion,
that is allocated to the building fund.
And who is the department head for the building inspector?
Currently, I oversee the building department. The building inspector is trying to achieve his building official certification, and he'll take over. But he's new to the organization and still learning. So he reports to me.
I guess that'll be a full budget discussion.
I don't know if it necessarily needs to be discussed in the budget. I
think
understand.
You're spending more money than you need to. People that aren't even working 40 hours a week.
I understand that the council is in a very awkward position with this budget, because while yes, we've always brought this before council, that doesn't mean we don't try a different method. It also means that we've never had a 30-day vacancy of three council members over a budget season. You know, the August 12th or 13th budget committee meeting was scheduled before we even had a council established, and so it was impossible at that time to even schedule a council meeting to get the council together. And we hoped that that meeting would be utilized as an introductory session for council members to kind of get involved into the budget from a spectator's point before the budget was presented and you really got your hands on it. The budget's been presented, and a number of the things that you're asking questions around have been touched on, but not elaborated on, because there was never a request to elaborate on them at that time, and mills are one of those. In the preliminary budget presentation, we talked about where we were allocating mills. Nobody at that time asked what the value of a mill was or what the taxable valuation came back to be.
Well, because it was going to be on the agenda twice and it was not, and it was told once. That's simple, Mayor. Come on. And we need to have a balanced budget. Whether it's capital or whatever it is, we can't spend more than we take in.
And we,
I mean, somebody talked about...
We gave you a balanced budget.
It shows that we don't have enough money.
The final budget... with the $299,000, what reflects as a deficit is a capital money spend down. That's natural. You cannot, I mean, I suppose you could, you just never make any improvements ever in the system, and you'd only be... But I'm saying, if you want to balance the budget solely on revenue, then the only thing we're going to pay for is operations. We're not going to pay for any other capital expenditures.
We need to have information that's been requested before that hasn't been provided, so we have a clear understanding. We need to have the opportunity, like I said, where the chief's issues, whoever, to discuss those and make a decision.
But you don't have the questions with you tonight?
No, I don't. I need to go home. I can't take something like this, which I, frankly, I've never seen anything like this in my life.
Well, because you asked for revenue versus appropriations and where it sat on a deficit in a simple form. And so we provided it in as simple of a form as we provided.
We can do some things tonight if that's what we want to do, but I don't think we can finalize budget. Because I'm still not going to have the total list of cars and which ones have insurance and which how much mileage is on them and which ones move and which ones don't. And I've asked that for 4 weeks. 4 weeks. And the only thing I got, which I didn't ask for, was a list from George.
Respectfully, sir, Mr. Underwood brought that to the last meeting and you responded, we won't get into that today.
Because I didn't have the information. I'm not going to argue with it. It's up to the all. I've done. If the council wants to proceed, if they want to adopt a budget where they really don't know what it is, that's up to them. I'm not. And the resolution is not clear.
Ms. Holcomb.
I think we do need to hear from Chief Marple what he wants to update or to the budget. And then we need to add that in to see.
Well, we do.
Yeah. So I recommend that we listen to Chief Marple.
Council concurrence?
Aye.
Chief. Take it away.
Thank you. I just wanted to say a couple of things here just to clarify in my own mind before we start on this. Are you looking for going over line items? Are we looking for, individual departments, what we're tallying up to put this thing into perspective? I guess I'm
not looking at line items. For example, we did a 2% across the board pay raise. One of your requests today was to pay one of your employees more than that.
Right, okay.
Which we had a discussion about merit pay, which I thought at that time you agreed that it was a tough thing to do. But then you also had a discussion about retention. And I understand your deal with retention, especially with police officers. And as I told you, I'm willing to listen to that.
Okay. Just to be clear, I have said that I'm not a fan of the merit system. And I will stand by that. I've never been. The way it used to be when I first started here, when we had step and grade, we had longevity, we had some of those other things. I think a combination of both is good. But that's something that we need to address somewhere down the road. That's not what I'm looking at now. And as I told all of you, I developed a pay matrix for the police department that's based on tangible things. That I will bring next fiscal year, not in this current budget season. But since we have issues of retention, I think it's important to address those as I've discussed. So with the particular individual filling the role of an investigator, that position I would like to raise by $1, okay, from 18 to 19. And then for the clerk's wage, whatever is comparable to whatever is being paid up front. Now, it's been discussed, 17. I don't know exactly what that number is. I suggested 17. There's been some various feelings, you know, one side or the other. 17 sounds okay, or maybe it needs to be, you know, 16 and some change. I don't know where we're going to go with that. I just think it's important that we get there. And incidentally, I mean, if it's something, Mr. Gibson, where you want to sit down with each department head, and I don't want to speak for all of us, but to get this ball rolling, I'll burn the midnight oil. I don't care. I'll come here whatever time to sit before all of you. And if you want to go through individual line items, by all means.
I don't want to go through, but I agree with what you said. That's why I went to George and asked him the question, because somebody told me to ask George the question, because the administration was proposing a full-time position, and George wanted two seasonal positions, and that's what we did. Okay. And I'm ready to make a motion on your investigator from $18 to $19. I'm ready to make that motion. And again, we're going to have to go back and see. I mean, that's not going to be that much, but we'll have to know what that is. I don't have a problem with that. You know, I'll make a motion right now that the investigator's salary goes from $18 to $19 an hour.
One real quick question on that, just so we can make sure it's all done perfectly legal and whatnot. Do we have a job description on file for a investigator?
No, and that question was asked. Now, to clarify, okay, with part of the matrix, way back when there was a format that we would use to evaluate pay based on benchmarks, okay, in the job description, benchmark evaluation. The position of an investigator is a police officer with enhancements. It's the same as an SRO. So, I mean, I can absolutely provide that easily in a very short period of time. But what I was hoping to do is to review, and I discussed this, I don't know with everybody, but hoping to review all job descriptions along with that pay matrix to evaluate those positions, to come up with that base in which to go from in the matrix. And I'm more than happy to discuss the matrix with anybody that wants to come to my office and sit down. It's incredibly complicated. It's simplistic, ideally, but it's incredibly complicated. So if we were to have that discussion, that's fine. But as far as the job description goes, what I'm concerned about right now is not necessarily that he has enhancements to what his position description as a police officer is. What I'm concerned about is retention. That's what this issue really is.
My concern is the same as yours with police officers, and we've had this conversation. My concern to the police officers, and that was another thing I asked for some time ago, is what were the salaries of Ravalli, police, all that, and I still haven't seen that. So I understand your issue with police officers, because what happens is everybody, as you well know, you train people, whether that be a resource officer, they go to the law enforcement academy, they get certified as a police officer, and they leave because they're going to get more money with their Valley County Sheriff or the Highway Patrol. I understand that 100%. I'm with you. Now, I'm still not quite there on the clerk, but I understand it with police officers, and I do think that needs to be addressed because I think you have had turnover, correct?
Yeah.
And I think, and people have different ideas of why that turnover is, but in my mind, that's part of the problem. If you can't hire people at entry level to compete with the other law enforcement agencies, and when you're, the town of Stevensville pays money for those people to go to law enforcement academy, which also puts overtime on you when they're gone, and then they come back and they're certified and all these things, and a job comes up that pays more money, you go. I understand that. I'm not denying that.
Yeah, ultimately, if you look at the big picture here with retention, for the cost associated with especially officers, with training an officer, having them go on for 3 months in the academy, you know, professional development training, all of those things combined, it's an investment. And if we don't get a return because our wages are not competitive, we're actually spending more money in having a revolving door and training officers over and over again than it would be to just increase the wage to get us to a competitive wage.
I agree.
You know, I mean, that's where we're at.
So with that, didn't we pass something that they would have to sign something that if they quit within 3 months of doing the training, they would have to pay the town back?
It's not 3 months, it's 3 years.
Or 3 years?
Yes. So, but that is only for an entry-level person, somebody who has been through the academy. It's obviously we don't incur as much cost in training that person if they come certified.
Right.
Then if they leave, I mean, we do still have cost, you know, ballistic vest, uniform, things like that. But it's significantly less than hiring entry level. So entry level, sure, we look at the 3-year contract, and that is if everything works out, they pass their field training, they pass probation, all those things come together, that works wonderfully. And in the past, we've had, just as an example, 10 years ago, maybe a little bit more than 10 years ago, when we would advertise a position, we would get 30 plus applicants. It doesn't happen anymore. And part of it's the wages, but part of it's the job too, honestly. I mean, if you look around what's going on in this country, you know, there's a lot of people saying, do I want to do that job and potentially get shot at, or you know, have to deal with all these things, and police officers not being in a position where they're a lot of them given a fair shake on whatever they're dealing with. You know, there's a lot of animosity towards law enforcement in today's world. So that's another issue. How do we attract people to a position that few people want to fulfill? You know, we really have to start planning and looking outside the box here to get really, really good people that are compassionate, that have a sense of duty, that really want to actually get out there and help people. Regardless of what the nuances are with the job, that's what it comes down to. And in order to get those people, we've got to be competitive. That's where I'm at with this. You know, there are, as I've said, key positions that we really can't afford to lose because it causes that vacuum shift of work. It's not that, you know, if an officer leaves or a clerk leaves, it's not that suddenly the work disappears. It falls on my shoulders.
Well, again, and personally, I'm ready on the investigator, not the clerk, on the investigator. I'm, Councilperson Vick had a question about that, and if that's a problem, I understand that. I'm going to make a motion on the investigator, because of your presentation, that it go from $18 to $19 an hour. So I make that motion.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Gibson and seconded by Mr. Vick to increase a police officer with investigative duties position from $18 to $19 an hour. Further council discussion?
My question, I mean, and it's because, mainly because we don't have a job description for a set investigator.
I understand what you're saying.
So if, would it be reasonable or appropriate to where, until we got an actual description for an investigator, where we paid the extra dollar an hour as like a collateral duty? I can't think of the rest of the sentence, but
can I interject something?
Just real quick. Let's be clear. The investigator position really doesn't exist. This is a police officer who has investigative duties, but all police officers do investigations.
Right.
So we are really talking about increasing a specific police officer's wages.
That has not been hired?
No, that has been hired. This is a current employee who is in the system, and we're talking about increasing that person's wages versus...
So you're asking for another dollar beyond the 2%.
Correct.
Yeah. So their wage would be $19.36, right?
Mm-hmm. But this increase would be to a specific individual that's doing investigations, and there are other police officers that are doing investigations currently.
Right now, it's just he and I. I mean, we're the only two.
They don't have that one position. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm making a motion on is one position.
And
Councilman Vick, I mean, I understand.
Question would be, instead of it being for the individual themselves, it would be for a, like, say we had a, all right, so if you're a regular police officer, you're going to get paid $18 an hour, but if you come to us with this skill set and with an advanced idea in investigative things that they do, you know, then anybody that comes here with that advanced skill set and advanced training and whatnot would get 19 an hour. That's the only reason why I brought up the investigate. Like, we could do like police officer one and police officer two. Or
what the chief is essentially asking for tonight for this individual is a Band-Aid to carry us into fiscal year 2021, where all the salaries and wages in the department are going to be overhauled anyway.
Right. This is
just to get us through fiscal year 20. There's no talk about hiring another investigator or investigative position or anything else. This is just to retain this employee and to satisfy the wage of that position for fiscal year 20, so that in 2021 we can have the same conversation around a different matrix.
Right.
And this will be behind us.
Right. And I was just restating it just to make sure I had an understanding.
Sure. And I can rescind my motion if you want to make it different.
No. I think we're on the right track, actually.
I have a motion, but I haven't had a second.
No.
Mr. Vick seconded it. So the motion remains. We're under discussion. Motion is to increase the position's wage by a dollar. Any further discussion from council? Public comment before I call for the vote. Mr. Chandler. Sure.
Jim Chandler, 405 Charlotte Street. The last 15 minutes is a good example of the level of granularity you find almost impossible. I was on the ad hoc committee. I can't speak for everybody, but I know that early on we realized that you just can't get to that end detail or it doesn't go anywhere. We only spent about 7 hours in the committee. We hoped that there would be more council participation as audience or involved, but we were in and out of the council book. But we learned all along that you just can't get to that level of detail to get anything accomplished. I know we have over 50 hours of our personal time in reviews of the documents, which were available way back June, sometime I believe. And I think the council might have been able to see that had they been together at that time and been able to conduct some of their own, because we had discussions that went on in the committee well beyond the meeting time. And we made some general decisions that we can't get into, like, for instance, individual salaries. That was hardly our position as citizens to judge anyhow, but we did in fact hope that council would get right to such things. Those were important. Go ahead.
Oh, I just, when did this committee first meet?
Late June.
Okay, we had a full council at that time. Yeah. And we did not know.
We did. We had a full council.
Okay. We did not know there was a meeting going on. Or I would have been happy to be part of it. So
well, I'm certainly not accusing. I thought that was a published agenda. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But
it wasn't.
Just so I just wanted to shed light on the fact that we got to the detail we could get to by dealing with exceptions, percentages out of line by department, gaps that we saw in the budget, but we could not get as granular as individual salaries or individual vehicle usages, and so we did hope the council would get to that. That was my comment.
Thank you.
Further public comment on the increase? Mr. Tadbeck.
Jim Tadbeck, 509 Mission Street. You hit where the problem is. Was the ad hoc committee was formed without the council approval and without council members involved. And you had a counselor, and that's where the whole thing got screwed up. All of this stuff could have been avoided if council members would have been involved from the very beginning.
And I guess I would just say, I mean, I respect what you did, but when it hits the road, it's the council's responsibility to the town of Stevensville to adopt a budget. And that's all it is.
Agree entirely.
Yeah. Yeah. And the council should have been involved.
And we're diving a bit off topic, but on this budget committee issue, but to clarify, the council was informed of the committee. Under the executive reports, I repeatedly told the council the process and the status as to where the budget stood. And the budget committee agendas and packets were published publicly, as with any other meeting in this organization. Whether council chose to look at that or not, I'm not holding your hand. But that was the process undertaken, and it wasn't an intent to exile or pull control from the budget on any level. It was to, and thank goodness we did it, because it kept the ball rolling while we had a 30-day absence of council. Back to the topic at hand regarding the wages, the motion on the floor is to increase a certain position at $1 per hour. Any further council discussion or public comment on the motion? All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Gibson.
Aye.
Councilmember Sheward.
Aye.
Councilmember Vick.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes.
And can I make, I want to just make a comment. Nothing against the committee. But any other committees that were formed by a resolution, and they weren't. They were not approved by council.
Was it required to be?
You know, at some point, Mayor, again, I wasn't here. But again, this resolution, not resolution, it becomes very confusing. It has to me, because I know there was also an email from Councilperson Holcomb to you about what we did with your salary. And she said it needed a resolution, and you responded that it didn't. But then we have in resolution 490 or whatever, salaries and whatever. So I mean,
right, that was my email, was to say we don't need a separate resolution for that salary increase because it's in this resolution.
It's just like with the water and sewer, when it's stated needs a resolution, but now that's a separate resolution. And maybe that's the case, you know? And again, like as we went through that, you know, you can call it whatever you want. Just so it gets done and everybody's clear on it. I think one of the issues is the transparency here. It goes back to the mill levies. And I'm not blaming Robert. I'm not blaming anybody. But to have an open government and not allow the public to even know what the mill levies are before they're submitted is not a way to do business. It's not a way to do business. That's all I'm saying. And I think we could alleviate a lot of these hard feelings. I mean, I talked to the chief today about other issues, like, okay, we're hiring a new officer, correct? And we talked about the interview process. And I said, well, I assume maybe I make an assumption I shouldn't be, have maybe three people on that committee, and you have structured interviews that everybody gets the same question, so it's not, so it's fair, and there's a scoring system, and I think pretty much that's what you do. And I said, well, and it's not up to me or anybody else, but of course the chief would be on the interview committee. You might be on the interview committee. I don't care. But I think it would be good to ask a council person to be on the interview committee. Because the council does approve these budgets, whether it's what we just did for the chief on a position. And I think it would be more open to get rid of some of this stuff. You know? The council, and again, I'm not saying who it is. I don't care. Maybe some council person doesn't want to be on the interview committee. You know, maybe they're too busy. But it would be nice, they should be, one, if you have three people, the chief, maybe you, maybe Robert, and a council person. It would be a good start. And I was told it used to be that way, but it's not now. And it just makes these feelings all over the place. Not that anybody necessarily is hiding something, but you can be your own worst enemy, you know? And I would suggest, and I suggested to the chief, and I'm not going to make a motion to do that. You know, I'm not going to make a resolution to do that. But I think it would be good practice. Involve a council person every chance you get as one person. And pick whoever you want. You know? What do you think of that?
I'm not close to that at all. And you can have that dialogue, but I don't want to forget about the clerk too. If I don't know if anybody's ready to move on that. I'm sorry?
I'm ready to move on that.
Okay.
Sir?
So in the previous budget, it was the police clerk was listed at 15 an hour, and then we had a merit increase and a COLA increase plus an adjustment to the position. We've changed that to a 2%. So the merit increase and the COLA increase have gone away. Now that individual is just getting a 2%. But in the budget, it was allowed for $1.50 increase per hour to the position as compared to comparing it to the other clerk positions.
That was when it was a merit proposal, which doesn't exist now.
That's correct. There was a part that was a merit.
If you look on the sheet, it went down because it's 2%, not 3%.
Right, but it didn't go down just a merit proposal and a COLA.
It went down from 3% to 2%, which it went down.
So we're looking at the proposed at $17.50 on this budget that was given to us, that Mr. Dewey presented. And then we're looking at this number with the 2%, which is $15.30.
Mm-hmm.
So the previous budget included a merit increase, a COLA increase, and then an adjustment to that position, which was $1.50.
Well, my only concern is, and that's why we did it last week, is that this merit thing, and this is, you're kind of going back to that, whatever you want to call it, we went across the board to be fair to all the employees. And now, just to pick one out and say, well, except for this one, now I understand the police officer situation,
sure.
100%,
sure.
It's working correction. But now you're going to one person.
But we're not talking about just a merit increase and a COLA increase that the other employees were getting. We're talking about a salary adjustment to that position.
You're talking about the clerk. You're talking about the clerk.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Can I hand this down to you?
Could I?
He has the same sheet.
I have the same sheet.
So you can see where it went from 15 to 17.50.
Yeah.
So that's not just a merit increase and a COLA increase. That's an adjustment to the position.
In my opinion, when it went from a 3% to a 2%.
Ms. Holcomb?
Then we need to talk about the court clerk. See, that's what he's talking about.
Let's talk about it.
But I heard all these job descriptions for the police clerk. When do all these job descriptions add to this one person? We're going to need an updated job description.
You did it back in 2017.
Yeah, the job description was updated long ago to include, you know, the admins and so forth.
And we did a job description, if you recall, when we had the last debacle around job descriptions in this organization with the council, we revisited all job descriptions, and they were all included in that packet.
But she didn't start until January of 2018. Why would we have done that in 2017?
Because the vacancy existed in 2017, and you anticipated it. And so in order to advertise the position, the chief brought the job description forward with modifications. You adopted the job description, you hired the position, the position worked.
I'll go look and I'll re-look at it. Thank you.
If you want to. Last spring, I believe it was, we revisited all job descriptions in the organization and did a blanket adoption for all position descriptions.
We are talking about a position. In this particular instance, we're talking about a position, not necessarily a person in that position. Just evaluating it on its face, in all fairness, there are some duties that are required as part of this. They're specialized, again. But without getting into all of that meat and potatoes, like I want to get into with the matrix, I think bumping that baseline up for that position is appropriate to be commensurate with what the clerks in the front office get. And I don't want to speak out of turn, but I would imagine that the clerks in the front office would not have anxiety if she is equalized to where they are. I mean, I don't speak for them, but I can't imagine that they would balk at that. And that's essentially what I'm looking for here, is to get that position equal in pay to the similar type of work.
So if you look at fiscal year in regards to...
Go ahead.
If you look at fiscal year in regards to 2019 versus 2020, the court clerk, the increase is from $13 to $13.31. If you come down to the police clerk, the increase is from $15 to $17.50. Now that includes an additional amount for the position, bumping up the baseline of that position to similar workloads of similar positions. That's all we're referring to.
And to help clarify also in regards to the court clerk, that's a different position from what we're talking about in the police clerk or even the utility billing clerk or the town clerk. It's a part-time position, first and foremost, but the work that position performs isn't the community outreach and the evidence and the other detailed work that the police clerk is being asked to perform currently because of the small organization. Ordinarily, in a larger organization, the chief would have his own community outreach coordinator dedicated to the department, and that would be their whole job. In a smaller organization, it's more feasible to have that position combined with others, as we've done with other positions in the organization. Do you still want to speak, Laura?
Yes.
Okay.
Laura Miller, 331 Turner Street, 10th Avenue. No, we would not have an issue at all with Janelle making. She should make more than I make, to be honest with you. She does not sit there and answer telephones, pour coffee. I don't know if you guys understand exactly what she does. I had no idea. I didn't know before I started here. Roughly 9 months ago, my world changed. Very horrible incident in this town involving a small child, and Janelle was there. And I didn't understand that was part of her job description. This woman gets in the middle of things that would give you people nightmares for the rest of your life, because I still don't sleep. And the things I've seen her have to do and come back in and handle are above a $15 an hour job. And I just want you guys to know this woman goes above and beyond on a daily basis for this community, for the people that live here, for the people that she works with. And I just want you guys to take that into consideration. Thanks. That's it.
Make sure you spell your last name right.
I did. You got it.
So that leads me to, I would like to make a motion to increase the police clerk's salary, the position, not the person, by $1.50 per hour.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Sherrod and seconded by Mr. Vick to increase the police clerk's positions, police clerk position hourly salary by $1.50 per hour. Council discussion.
Well, again, I'm not questioning this person, how good a job they do. I just go back to what we did with the 2%. It's a different issue, in my opinion, with a police officer. And it just, I mean, we could go, we could continue to go down this road all the time. Well, no, Jim needs to make more. No, you know, we made a decision last week, 2% across the board. You know, we made a decision tonight on the police officer, investigator. That's all I have to say.
I think it's worth noting in this debate between 2% and merit, you know, the push was is that 2% across the board was fair to all employees. I don't know, I'm confident in saying, there isn't an employee in this organization who would argue that the merit system as it stands today is unfair, meaning that what they would receive in the fiscal year 20 budget is unfair based on the evaluations that were done back in April and what the expectation was since that time. To that, it was also discussed when we have, as we discussed through these pieces of the budget in different facets, we talked about if there were changes that needed to be made after the fact, that we could come back and revisit these. And so I hope that there's no animosity in the room about having to revisit some of these issues. If it's deemed that the council wants to repeal the 2% and go completely back to the merit increase or a combination of thereof, fine, do so. That's not your job.
We just did. We just gave the police officer a dollar more. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, you could override that and completely change the system all over again if you want to. I mean, that option exists. What I'm saying is if we're doing a 2% out of fairness, we shouldn't discount the current merit system. I'm not beyond or objecting to the merit system in fiscal year 2021 or changing that system. What I'm saying is this was a system that the staff grew to expect over the last several months.
And we made a decision.
And you made the decision, and now we're having these conversations as a result of that decision. So, further council discussion. Motion on the floor is to increase police clerk by $1.50. Ms. Holcomb.
So that would make her $16.80 an hour.
Appears so, yes. Further council discussion? Public comment. Chief Motley.
Sorry. Let me catch up. We're not talking merit. We're talking the position is now being raised by $1.50 in the motion on the floor. That's the position. That's not the body in the chair. That's the chair.
Correct.
And then we're going to go ahead and give everybody a 2% increase, as you guys already voted on. So it's not a merit thing at all. This is, the position is worth X number of dollars, as you presented. Is that correct in your motion?
That's correct in my motion.
So this is it's increase. Not just going back and giving the individuals these extra bonuses.
Yes, you are. That person is getting the grades. It's there.
We're talking about what
whoever that person is.
Whomever
it's that base salary plus whatever you guys deem them to.
But it was presented as a retention issue. It was presented from the chief, and the chief is nodding his head. It was presented as a retention issue, and retention means to keep existing employees, and she is an existing employee.
Thank you. I understand that. But it seems to me that the position warrants the higher dollar value to start with, regardless who's in the chair. I'm hearing you saying that.
If the
and
position,
that's the motion I believe is on the floor.
Right. If the position
that would encourage the council to vote in favor of the motion.
If the position were to turn over to, you know, in the next week, then we would hire that position the $1.50 higher than we would ordinarily, right?
Correct.
Mr. Vick?
But before the job descriptions got changed to what it is now for that position, do you know off the top of your head what the person was making before all these what that chair was making before all of these extra duties got added?
$14.88.
So as of right now, there's a 22-cent an hour increase to pretty much do everything, process evidence, process crime scenes, and
correct, because at that time when we paid the $14.88, the evidence piece of that position was not in it.
Right.
And I think it's important to know, Mr. Gibson, that I understand what you're saying, but the reality is even if the person wasn't there, I still feel that the wage should be there in order to retain the next person. So it still is a retention issue all the way around. I mean, and I made mention before that, you know, just looking at different jobs and what they pay, not only in the Bitterroot and Missoula, I don't think it's outside the, I don't think it's a big stretch to say, you know, with the duties and responsibilities for that position, that that's a fair wage, you know, and to compete with other clerk positions within our own organization. And in all fairness, again, as you heard from one clerk, and I don't think that any of them would disagree that it's worth it. So.
Any further public comment on the increase to the police clerk's position for $1.50? Ms. Rodebaugh.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm having a bad foot day, but I will find when I leave.
Thank you.
I'm wondering what that actually comes to after you add in Social Security, different taxes, retirement, whatever. So it's not really, $16.80 is probably closer to $19 now, correct?
Yes. There would be benefits, and it's usually 30% of the salary.
And I remember a time when that position was not even available. There wasn't a person in that office, correct?
There's been a clerk position. It hasn't always been filled because of one reason or another, but since 2004. So before that, I know that we did have Audrey doing some secretarial type work, so okay. More of a secretary and it developed over time. But yes, it's been around for a very long time.
$19 and something like that.
Yeah, and if you look at, you know, I mean, wages are just, they're always going to increase just because the value of the dollar changes. You know, that's kind of.
I wonder if the percentage of income for towns increases from that.
So, Chief, was the position half-time before and now it's full-time?
It was half-time. It started out full-time in 2004. It was cut to half-time, combined with, for a period of time, with the town clerk's job. And then now it's back to
full-time. So when did it go from half-time to full-time?
2018. Well, no, that's not true. Janelle started at halftime, and so we increased her to full-time.
Was it late 2017?
January 1st of 2018, in theory. Okay. Shortly before that, because of vacancies. Yeah. And I, in fact, so we had a full-time clerk. It got reduced. It moved around. At one time, this position lived on the town clerk's desk, combined with the court clerk. And so that position was three positions in one, a town clerk, a court clerk, and a police clerk. And it was making in the $16 to $17 an hour range. And then it was separated off and split 50-50 with the fire department. And so it was a half-time position. And in that time, it was in the $14 to $15 an hour range. And then we reduced it even further when we in 2017 down to 13 an hour because we weren't sure at that time what the market was for that position. And we didn't know what to expect. It was somewhat of a new venture with this evidence technician piece.
And the reality is it's with especially with the enhancements, the evidence and so forth, the need was always there. It's just like I said before, you know, when you're trying to accomplish certain things like getting programs together to better the community. I mean, just all of these things that we've been pushing, that I've been pushing for 15 years, are finally coming to fruition because that position is what it is. And there was always work to be done there that the previous town clerk, Stacy Bartlett, if she was standing in here right now, she would tell you, without a doubt, there was way too much work for a part-time position.
So with the new police officer that you got last week, I guess you got, there wasn't a motion to do it, but you got, will that alleviate some of the problems with her position?
No, I mean that because they're two different jobs. I mean, you're talking about clerical evidence and so forth. versus enforcement.
Yeah, no, it really won't. If anything, it will add more work to her, the more staff that we add on. It's natural.
More citations, more paperwork.
Right.
Council prepared vote. All right. Motion on the floor is to increase police clerk's salary $1.50 an hour. Councilmember Holcomb.
No.
Councilmember Short.
Aye.
Councilmember Vick.
Aye.
Councilmember Gibson.
No.
Okay. Mayor votes aye. Motion passes.
Thank you. Motion tie votes in half.
Usually, yeah. Typo.
Oh, you're the typo.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anything further on the budget?
Yeah, because we're still going to go.
Can we take a short recess just to, so we can stretch legs and break blood clots in our knees and maybe pour it
through? All right. Let's take a 10-minute recess.
You're not going to. I don't know that. I've been sitting all day.
Vehicles are big.
understand that all of our groups are competing for
school. I know. I've seen them all. You're not going to bring new ones up?
We got one funding last year. Which is also. By the way, I had said it would be a little bit. I had said it was just one department. And I had put in there money that we should be putting aside for Sandra, you know, started like a savings plan.
Unfortunately, I'd love to see that information.
All day jakers.
This is a major portion. There are five separate years where we regularly have the expenditures of the great explanation of the brain,
Yeah, there's a lot of pictures.
Is somebody still turning on the meter?
It's already running. Should be. Did you shut it off?
Robin, where's that much snow coming from?
They're saying they have a winter advisory for Great Falls, Ronan, Kalispell, and one other place up there. They're saying 1 to 3 feet in the mountains, 3 to 9 inches on the floor.
Yeah, we're supposed to get snow here Saturday and Sunday.
When is that?
This weekend.
This weekend. And here, Fonda, it's going to be on the floor, too.
And as the only council member that's a member of the American Meteorological Society, I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do, but yes, it's true. Santa is coming this weekend, y'all.
I'm not ready for it. It's too soon.
Let me tell you.
That's great for most of
us. This past Saturday, I was up in Morning Peak with my little helmet on, out there counting the ceilings, and we got snowed on. And it was cold.
I bet it was. I got been cold.
Yeah.
That was not fast.
All right, we'll reconvene the town council meeting September 24th, 2019. We left off. New business item A for the...
We're not done. Are we done with the budget?
No. New business item A is adopting the budget for fiscal year 2020.
I make a motion to cut the aerobics instructor.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Gibson and seconded by Ms. Holcomb to cut the aerobics instructor position. Council discussion.
Is that a completely separate position from a lifeguard, or are they a completely different person than a lifeguard?
Broken out that way.
So yes, it's a position specifically hired for those programs for aerobics programs. There are occasions where in the past we've had aerobics instructors who are certified as a lifeguard,
mm-hmm.
Who have worked for us as a lifeguard at the lifeguard rate. So if they're second year lifeguard and they're qualified for aerobics instruction, if they teach an aerobics class, they make that rate during that class. If there is a class, there's a requirement that we must have at least two people for the class. Mm-hmm. That way the class is paid for through their entry fees. If there's not two people, they cancel the class and everybody goes home. There's no expense to the town. And so it's set up that way. But to your question, sometimes, depending on who the aerobics instructor is, and what their qualifications are, they can work as a lifeguard at the lifeguard rate.
I think it competes with private business, and I visit a pool. I took my grandson there. I mean, this is great that this town has a pool, and the majority of the people there are kids. I mean, I've been there 5 times. I don't know when they do this aerobic instruction of the pool. I just don't think it fits with the town of Stevensville. And again, I mean, I think this new therapy place going in up here on Main Street is going to have an indoor pool. There's a fitness center over here, and there's another fitness center. I don't think the town should be, and again, it's not a lot of money, but I just don't see the necessity. I don't think anybody's using it. I mean, if you look at the amount of money and the hourly wage, I mean, I don't know when they're doing this.
Just to clarify, we're not paying an individual to stand around. They have a class, and those individuals show up for the class, and then they generate the revenue.
Correct. It's designed to only generate revenue. The aerobics program does not operate at a loss.
Okay, so there's zero loss involved with the aerobics program.
Correct. The reason it was implemented was to generate supplemental revenue to help offset expenses at the swimming pool.
Okay, so it's offsetting expenses.
Correct.
How much? I mean, it's only costing $468 a year. How much revenue could they be offsetting?
I don't know that off the top of my head.
But from my understanding, it's not an expense. I mean, it pays for itself.
Right? Correct.
Don't know that. He just didn't answer that. I don't know that.
Well, it has to pay for itself because we require
it. You're paying them a salary. You're paying them $12
correct.
An hour,
and
we're paying them $468.
And they don't work unless there's a class.
So we're paying the salary for the hours that they work.
Correct.
Right.
I don't.
If there's no class, there's no salary. There's no money out of the center.
It's just a benefit out there.
Okay. Further discussion? Public comment. Ms. Tadbeck.
Well, back in the good old days, Wesley Catholic 509 Mission Street, we had aerobics instructors. We had water aerobics. The gal came in. We all came down to the pool. We paid our $5. She took the salary and took it home. If nobody, she got what, if there were three people, we maybe paid $15 each time. Why don't you just have it on an honor system? Why does the town have to be involved? My thought.
Further public comment. All right. No further council discussion. I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Vick.
Nay.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Sherrod.
No.
Councilmember Gibson.
Aye.
The mayor votes no.
Okay, I have another motion.
Okay.
The town develop a strategic plan and do it before the end of this fiscal year. I would say no later than January 2020. And that you involve the department heads. This isn't something, and that you get rid of the surplus cars that you don't need, that are worthless, and get rid of the insurance. If you're paying insurance on cars that never move, and that would be a benefit to the taxpayer of Stevensville. You've given the police officer a new car.
You're in a motion, and so I just like your motion to be concise for the record, so there's a follow-up with a second.
Do a strategic plan before the end of the fiscal year in this budget to surplus cars that aren't needed and get rid of the car insurance.
Okay. All right. The motion's been moved and seconded. Council discussion. Public comment. All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Short.
Aye.
Councilmember Vick.
Aye.
Councilmember Gibson.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
All right, motion passes.
Then I have a question again, and then I'm just going to have one more thing for the resolution. Does the council, we gave the council, four council people, $25, which was $600 starting January 1st. Does that need to be in the resolution? Because you have the other salaries in the resolution, but you don't have that.
Yes, that needs to be listed in the salary schedule.
So that'll have to be changed in the resolution.
Correct.
And then I have just one more regarding the resolution. And again, I don't know the people. I respect all the time they put in. But the narrative in the resolution regarding the ad hoc committee makes no sense to me. Many of the initiatives proposed by the staff and mayors were endorsed by the budget committee. That's the ad hoc committee. They provided feedback, Debbie Kuhn-Plu, whatever. And then it goes down to say that it's got a checkbox, applicable, not applicable. The ad hoc budget committee endorsed the preliminary budget on 8/13/2019. I don't know why that's applicable, because the council approves the budget. We've had that discussion. So I don't even know why that language is in there.
So in this council communication form, anytime there's a recommendation from a board or a commission, we bring that to the attention of the council. This is how we do that.
But again, the language, they didn't, I doubt if they endorsed the entire budget that was presented, and that's how it reads. Did they endorse the entire budget that you presented on August 13th?
Yes, as a committee they did.
The entire, well, they had other changes that weren't.
I mean, did you read their summary in the budget?
I've read some stuff, yeah. I just don't.
Because, I mean, that summarized.
I don't think it's applicable to the budget being approved by the council, is what I'm saying. I'm not saying they didn't do good work. I'm not saying he didn't have this add up, but there was a lot of discussion about that. The council should have been involved.
So this communication is just for. It's exactly that. It's to communicate from the executive to the legislative. You can take it with a grain of salt, you can ignore it, or you can hold it close to your heart. It doesn't matter to me. It's just a form of communication.
It's not applicable to the budget.
That's your opinion, and that's fine. It doesn't need to be applicable as far as you're concerned, but the last thing I want to happen is that I check not applicable, and the budget committee comes in and says, well, wait a minute, how come we didn't get
how come our recommendation didn't get put forward?
Well, it did get put forward.
Correct. It's right here. But this is just a communication. It's not an informal document, I think.
But it's over half of the resolution, which is to approve. Yes, it is.
This isn't the resolution. This has nothing to do with the resolution. This is the resolution. That is not the resolution, sir.
Okay.
This is simply a council communication to introduce you and give you background into the item at hand.
So you are going to have to change it, though, for the council people, you said, correct?
Correct. We'll include them in the salaries and wages schedule. Ms. Holcomb?
And like I said, I would like to see the salaries included into the resolution. It could be on a separate form, but...
Well, and to be clear on the resolution, we included the resolution in the council packet. But when the resolution's adopted, the budget gets it. I mean, the entire budget document that's currently being called the preliminary budget, that whole document is attached to this form. And in that document, as an appendix, is the salaries and wages, which that entire document will be updated once we have final numbers and directives from council as to how they want that to look. We don't want to spend staff time going in, adjusting numbers all the way through, and then seeing more changes that we'll have to go back through and adjust those numbers one way or another. If we can adjust sections, that's one thing. But right now we're looking at global changes, and so, you know, with salaries and wages and those types of things, those are things that are going to affect the entire budget. We really want narrowed down and pinpointed so that when we make those changes, we're not retracing our steps, creating more work for ourselves. So this is the resolution, but when it's all said and done and it's passed, you know, this couple hundred page budget goes along with it. And in that budget is the mill levy schedule, your fiscal policies, your purchasing policy, and wages and salaries. All of those pieces go in with that.
And I just want to make sure that the next agenda, the resolution to lower the water and sewer fees is on the next agenda, because that takes effect November 1st. So in order for the staff and everybody to know that, it needs to be done. The next agenda has to be on the agenda.
Okay.
So are we clear? Will that be on the agenda?
Yes, the clerks just noted it.
Okay.
Earlier during the public hearing, Chief Motley come up and was asking about the fire engine improvement thing that's in the budget. Just remind me, is that the amount of money that he was requesting for the door, or is that for us to like do an improvement on an actual engine itself?
That is the match to the SCBA grant from FEMA.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. It wasn't spent in the last fiscal year. It will be spent in this fiscal year.
Right.
As soon as we receive an invoice, we'll pay it out. Chief Mom.
For clarification, there is a line in that budget that is station 1 capital improvement. You can see that on the way there.
Okay.
It's in the big budget, in the big packet. Okay, Ms. Holcomb.
Once we finally get this budget passed, I would like to see a wish list from everybody before they start spending the capital improvements to have it approved by council. And that is in our policy. So I would like to start seeing that whatever you all, before you start spending it on capital improvement, that it comes to council to be approved.
Further council discussion on the budget. You ready to move on? No. I'll keep working on it. Okay.
Sorry to make you a motion to adopt the budget.
No. Doesn't sound like it, unless someone else, I mean, it doesn't sound like this end of the table is going to do it, and they indicated they're willing to move on unless you want to be bold and brave and adopt a budget tonight.
So that will be done the next meeting?
Yes.
Make a motion that we table adopting the budget until October
10th.
Yeah.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Vick and seconded by Ms. Holcomb to table adopting the budget to October 10th. Council discussion. I would request council reconsider and push that out either to a special meeting or to your regular meeting on October 24th, because the finance officer is out the rest of the week, I am out the rest of the week, and we both are gone October 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. That isn't enough time to compile everything you need, given tonight's feedback, and get it prepared for your adoption on the 10th. I mean, because your packet's going to come out sooner than that.
So basically on the 10th, the only thing we'll have is the resolution regarding the water and sewer fees. That's obviously the claims issue.
Administrative reports?
Is there anything else that you're planning on having on that date?
I will be gone that week. I'll be at Bozeman at school.
On the week of the 10th?
Yep.
Okay. Well, I would think. Well, his other thing passes or whatever to the 24th, you won't have to worry about.
Right. At this time, I don't have a preview list of anything else pending for the agenda, because a lot of our energy has been focused on the budget. So the only thing you've got is the resolution for
water
and sewer rates. Okay, and that's
in past minutes.
And
that's a regular meeting.
Yeah, and so I would expect, given our past experience with adjusting water and sewer rates, that may be enough for one meeting. I expect a plethora of public comment, and I expect a lot of discussion from the council.
Yeah, well, we did it before. We passed it unanimously.
Okay. Any further discussion? Is council willing to entertain amending their motion to October 24th?
I'm good with that.
Okay. I did accept that as a motion.
Oh, motion. I thought we had to rescind the.
No, you can amend your motion to read October 24th instead of October
24th. I'll amend my motion to change that to the 24th instead of the 10th.
Okay, is there a second on the amendment?
I'll second the amendment.
Is there any discussion on the amendment? Public comment on the amendment? Okay, hearing now, I'll call the vote on the amendment. Councilmember Sheward?
Aye.
Councilmember Vick?
Aye.
Councilmember Gibson?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
All right, the motion on the floor remains then October 24th for budget to table the budget adoption to October 24th's town council meeting. Any further council discussion? Any public comment? Mr. Tadnick.
Just one real quick question. In your original budget, you were going to ask for a car for the building inspector. Okay. And that's because they're driving from Lolo or wherever they live?
That's just for their use around town.
But we didn't give them
the mileage that we're paying.
We didn't give them a car. They said they have mileage.
We didn't give them a car. But the mileage that we pay, we're not paying anybody to drive from their home to work.
No, no, that'd be against the policy. All right, any further public comment on tabling the budget? All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Vick?
Aye.
Councilmember Sheward?
Aye.
Councilmember Gibson?
Aye.
All right, motion passes. We'll readdress this then on October 24th. All right, next item is item B, discussion decisions, Stevensville Scarecrow Festival event and alcohol use permit. Ms. Holcomb.
I move that we approve the Stevensville Scarecrow Festival event and alcohol use permit.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
All right, it's been moved by Ms. Holcomb, seconded by Mr. Sheward, to approve the Stevensville Scarecrow Festival event and alcohol use permit. Council discussion. Questions? Ms. Holcomb.
Has this been approved by our chief?
Yes.
Okay,
all department heads review. All department heads review these before they come before council.
Because I don't see that they were approved. But if you're okay. Okay.
Any further council discussion?
The only thing I don't see with the special event permit, which I mean, I don't know if it's something that has to come in front of us or not, but is the proof of insurance.
That's on file with the office.
Okay.
Yep. Further council discussion. Public comment on approval of the Scarecrow Festival permit. All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Gibson.
Yeah.
Councilmember Vic.
Aye.
Councilmember Sheward.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
All right. Executive report. Not a ton to report, simply because we've been focused primarily on the budget and staff absences for planned vacations and such. It was asked at the last meeting that the auditor contract come before council. And I just wanted to update the council because there was some disagreement whether that had already been before council. It turns out the minutes that you approved at the last council meeting included where the audit contract for Stroman Associates, which was a three-year contract, was approved by council. In fact, Councilmember Holcomb, you made the motion to approve that contract. That contract was signed, sent over to Strom, and they're waiting to work with Robert on scheduling the actual audit visit when they come here to Stevensville. So I just want to clarify that. That's all been taken care of, buttoned up. The grant agreement for the airport project was received yesterday. They asked for it to be turned around and returned to them by tomorrow. Legal counsel reviewed it today. There was nothing alarming or seriously changed from the draft agreement. And so we went ahead and executed that and sent that back to the FAA, and they were grateful for the quick turnaround. So that's all systems go there. Otherwise, I'll be out of town but available to staff by cell phone and email through the weekend, and then we turn around on Tuesday and head to Billings for the MLCT conference, which I think everyone's looking forward to for some fresh information. So that concludes the executive report. Council comments.
Just a board comment.
Sure.
Our meeting has been moved from October 2nd to October 9th.
Park Board, right?
Park Board.
October 9th.
Correct. 6 p.m. This building.
Any further council comment or board reports? I'd entertain a motion to adjourn if there's no comment. Here's a second.
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Thanks, everyone.
Nobody disagrees.
I'm staying.
We're staying here for the night.
That's fine. I got a mattress in my truck.
You got a mattress in your truck.
That's an air.
I think that comes